If you're not an early bird or you miss our garden hour, that starts off the program 8 o'clock every morning. Funny email coming in from that Woodrow wrote, "Well, I never heard of grubs until this year. They're taking over my beautiful yard. Please help." Well, my friend, if we've said it before, if you will build it, they will grub. You either have them or they will be there eventually. So make sure you have Bonide's annual grub beater. It will take care of all your grub problems. And what it does is not only tears up your beautiful lawn, but grubs are a food source. So it brings birds if you're in the higher elevations. It'll bring your skunks and your burrowing animals will come in there and tear up your lawns. If you've got big mounds in your yard and you can't figure out why, it might be a grub problem that's bringing those critters in. So Bonide's annual grub beater applied. It comes in 5 or 15,000 square foot bags for easy application spray. You can find it in Tucson, Mesquite Valley Growers on Speedway. If you're in Flagstaff, Warner's Nursery on Butler. Beautiful, beautiful nursery. One of the premier ones in the state. And if you're in Glendale, Summer Winds on Bell, about 67th Avenue. So Bonide's annual grub beater complete. If you missed it in our early morning broadcast, make sure you've got a good-looking lawn for upcoming 4th of July, which we were talking about the National Home Builder Show.
Yeah.
At 4th of July show, all the barbecue ideas we got out of that broadcast, we'll put together for a nice weekend.
We got a barbecue show coming up on Rosie on the House.
But back to today's topic, insulation.
And I want to get back. I want to get back to those hot bedrooms. But did you have something you wanted to go first?
Longevity.
A foam.
I mean, how long ago was it invented?
What's the half life of foam? What's the half life? What's the half life of foam?
Don't know. It never changes. When it's entombed in a wall, and it's not exposed to the elements, it will never change. It's been used for many. More years than I've been doing. I've been installing it for 15 plus years, and it was incorporated into the big box stores before that, and it's the only wall insulation that they use in the masonry building. So it's got a real proven track record.
We were talking about those hot bedrooms above the garage, and I want to go into that a little bit more because the building science involved in solving that kind of answers the question of should you shoot foam into already insulated walls. The whole dilemma is as we were building those homes, as builders were building the homes, and just prior to throwing the sheetrock on the lid of the garage, they would hang their bats on the bottom of the ceiling joists, and they would leave this void from the fiberglass to the bottom of the floor of the bedroom. A big void in many places. And what we've discovered in application of insulation is if the fiberglass bat isn't touching the living space, it's doing absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. So y'all's solution for that was then to cut a hole. And I've heard you explain it to me a couple times, but you cut a hole in the ceiling and you actually send your foam tube as well as with the insulation. How did y'all kind of took a two-pronged attack to it?
Right. We use a fiberglass, loose fill fiberglass underneath that floor. And then we usually give the homeowner the option at that point to go ahead and insulate the garage, do all of the garage. We can foam the existing garage walls very simply with our foam. We make 2 or 3 1-inch holes per stud cavity. And again, our foam doesn't expand, so we just fill that cavity with foam and then put a plug back in it and then patch it later when we do the ceiling work. But we can cure that syndrome of the upstairs rooms over the garage being noticeably too warm.
And then using this same technology of filling empty wall cavities, it's a great acoustic insulator in between bedrooms, in between bathrooms, washrooms, living rooms. Y'all do a lot of sound insulation with the product inside the home.
We do more and more all the time. We've done music rooms for people where they have a percussion instruments or any kind of even recording studios inside their home, where we've done the interior partitions. We've done some doctor's offices and even some high-tech buildings for the military where they want real good soundproofing.
And again, it's thermal advantage. I don't think we've given your phone number out one time. We get to talk in science, building science, and I forget to tell people how to find you. What phone number do you want them to use?
The local number is 480-705-5757, and we have a toll-free number, 1-888-329-0289.
And you are serving the entire state of Arizona.
Yeah, and our website is really comprehensive. It goes into pretty much all the aspects that we cover at thermaladvantage.com. And then that can bounce a person over to our supplier if they want more technical information, too.
Okay, fantastic.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to join the conversation. We're going to start with our callers. Pat in Peoria wants to talk wall insulation. Yeah, today's your day, man.
Morning, Pat.
We got an expert in here for you.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much, Rosie. I called last weekend and... So I really enjoy your show. Thanks for having me on a second time in 2 weeks.
Okay, all right. Good for you.
Yeah, I had called in last week, and you had mentioned that Dennis was going to be on. I didn't have a chance to call Thermal Advantage this last week, but remember the question was interior wall insulation, new build, and we had missed the opportunity. The builder wasn't offering the interior wall insulation until after we moved in.
And there were some special needs concerns?
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember.
Our son, you know, nonverbal, can't walk, lots of special needs, and we really want and need the house more soundproofed. The new builds now have these pest tubes that are basically wired through all of the interior and exterior walls, kind of like electrical wiring. Where the pest control companies can just shoot in the pesticide from outside the house and goes throughout the house. And the question is, for Dennis, does the foam insulation or this combination foam and loose pack, does that affect the effectiveness of those pest tubes? Does it sort of encase those things closed?
Now, are those tubes underneath the slab?
No, they're in the wall.
They're
cabinet.
In the wall.
Yeah.
That would be a special consideration. I'd need to look into that.
Yeah.
Okay. And, so maybe I'll give you a call this week. They basically run, they put it in after the wiring and before drywall, little plastic polyurethane tube that runs probably about 12 inches off the foundation, and they literally drill it straight through all the 2x4s throughout the house. And then when the pest control company comes, they just inject it into two ports outside of the house, and it goes throughout the house.
I don't believe that it would have a detrimental effect on our foam because it is basically an inert product.
Mm-hmm.
But I would check with my manufacturer first before we would proceed on that.
And my question would be, would your foam plug the perforations in the hole from letting the fluid even come out?
It might, yeah.
And it is an insecticide product, isn't it, if I remember right?
Add a insecticide, termicide, fungicide. A lot of our customers do that.
So it would completely negate the need for this system that he's got if it – interfered with it.
Well,
you would solve it probably?
Possibly. It would be a step in the right direction.
Now, when you say you need to see it, you take like a wall x-ray or do you go tear out all the drywall?
Well, I would just need to become familiar with what he has there and run it past my supplier.
You know, these in-home pest control tubing things kind of became big. I want to say the first time I ever became aware of them was about the early 90s. I was just really, really surprised that they had come back because I thought they had phased out. But I'm going to have to do some research on it myself.
And you'll have to, we're going to lean on you. When you get out there and figure it out, you'll have to let us know so we can update that in our resources. Joseph in Phoenix, welcome to the program.
Good morning. I was wondering if one would, let's say like on my house that faces west on a good old August hot summer day with the sun beating down on the outside wall, if I were to measure the temperature of the surface of the wall on the outside, what would a good temperature be on the same spot on the inside to tell whether or not I had good insulation, bad insulation otherwise?
Well, if it's a block home, is it a block home, Joseph?
Yes, it is.
The odds are there's probably no insulation in the block. Depending on the age of the home and what the builder wanted to consider, there could be a little bit of fiberglass behind that drywall, but typically that's a home that is a pretty good candidate for our system. It's usually empty.
Well, I didn't get that. What's the age of the home?
That's 78. But let's say any wall. If I were to measure any wall that the sun's been beating down on it for hours, and let's say the surface temperature is 120 degrees, you measure the temperature on the inside wall, what would the temperature drop be, for example, that would say, oh, that's, you know, you got good insulation?
Well, where that gets a little deceptive is because on the inside you have your air conditioning running. If it's 120 degrees outside, your air conditioning is running. And the surface temperature doesn't really tell you a lot of what the thermal property is. What you're really interested in is how long does it take that heat from the outside to get to the inside, that coefficient. And just reading surface temperature doesn't tell you. We drill a tiny hole in the grout joint to test it for sure.
And everyone keeps their home at a different temperature, so that's going to affect what the interior wall right. temperature is. If you've got that, depending on duct, it could have air blowing directly across the room onto that wall, so you could have a cool spot on one spot where the where the vent's coming in. So that
right. So surface temperature really doesn't tell you a lot because it doesn't tell you how much is it costing me to control that energy that's moving through the wall, because the surface temperature will actually only be a few different degrees than the other walls or even your couch. Everything in the house is trying to balance the same temperature. So it's easier and better. We just drill like a quarter inch hole into the mortar joint and test it and then patch that up.
When I built, it was a different foam product just because it was with the Integra wall system, but it's still a foam product. On the south wall, on the masonry, at the heat of the day in the summer, before the roofing, everything was on, you put your hand on that block. I mean, it was extremely uncomfortable.
It's amazing. And when
you walk inside, put your hand on it, you could leave it there all day.
And if that block is uninsulated, when you think about it, even when the sun goes down, those blocks have absorbed millions of BTUs throughout the day. And your air conditioner just continues to pull that heat into the house and recycling it. So that's why it's so expensive sometimes to heat and cool those homes.
Put that foam in those voids. It pays for itself.
It's not a very expensive proposition. I think it's a lot less money than most people realize. And it's being advertised out there. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on air is there's advertisers out there that are kind of like what we used to deal with the power factor correction devices. They're selling it as a cure-all in all instances, in all applications, and it's not. So one of the reasons I wanted to have you on air today was to clarify that. We're going to cover more when we get back right after this short break. Stay tuned, y'all.